Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Snell Nation. And it's been quite a couple of weeks, just in the news with all the craziness going on and all that. But I'm glad you're here, and I hope you made the most of this past weekend, Easter weekend. Lots of eggs and peeps and chocolate covered rabbits, and not quite sure how that connects to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know, who am I to judge? It is what it is. I'm not very big into the Easter fun. I was when I was a kid, but as an adult, I seized the opportunity to step away from a lot of things that I deemed not necessary for myself, but of course I'm not going to dog anyone else who deems it important for them and their family, and hopefully everyone got out and enjoyed it, and enjoyed the weather. The weather was, well, here in Ohio, it was exceptional, considering some of the things that we've dealt with in the past here in Ohio when it comes to April weather. But anyway, let's get into this. So, hey, you know, so what is there to talk about tonight? I mean, we could talk about we had the subway shooting in New York involving a black racist. I'm just going off of the evidence. I mean, the FBI won't, but just going off of his social media and a lot of his the suspects hate driven tirades and all that kind of stuff. And you know, if he were white, you know, of course that would be the focus, but he's not. And that just doesn't quite fit the narrative, you know? So there's that. There's the war between Russia and the Ukraine. Or if it depends on what network you're watching. It's the war in the Ukraine, the war on the Ukraine, the Russian war against the Ukraine. You know, everyone has their own little spin on it. And I mean, the way I see it is just, a bunch of innocent citizens held hostage by their governments as they're being dragged into a bunch of madness, you know, and there's not a whole lot to be said about this other than the fact that it's a shame. Because war is so profitable, especially now, and things that are profitable tend to continue or expand and grow. I feel for the citizens, and it's a shame that we get so wrapped up in these things that we forget to step back and look at the big picture and look at who is who's benefiting in the crisis. You know, what exactly are their motives, whether it be governments or individual corporations or special interests or whatever. Someone always benefits from our misery. And when I'm talking about our or we, I'm talking about the laborers, you know, the peasants, the commoners. I'm talking about us. You know, in the US we say we the people. So I'll just apply that. We the people, you know, and the same people win, and the same people tend to lose in these situations. And you know, and that's who I feel for in all this. And it's tragic, you know, it's a shame. But we saw the same thing in Syria, we've seen the same thing in Libya, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. You know, we've seen it all over, you know, and we've seen the same corporations, we've seen the same people, we've seen the Raytheons and the General Dynamics and the Boeings and the Halliburtons and, you know, all of those same defense contractors and different people that make a sizable chunk of money, you know, because whether you want to admit it or not, in a crisis, that the corporations, they just keep making so much money. And I've talked before about Big Pharma, you know, and the huge profits that Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer raked in, and Pfizer, they're sprinting towards another amazing year with record profits, tens of billions of dollars. And I believe the projection was close to 60 billion. And that projection just keeps going up and up and up and up. It's amazing what you can do with a little government collusion, which is something Pfizer, they figured out early on. And that's something else I spoke about in the past, which just the way they strong armed different governments in South America and got them to put up all kinds of interesting things as collateral to protect them against future lawsuits and things of that nature, depending on if there were any negative impacts from the shots that were mass produced and distributed and sold and forced on a lot of people. Of course, forced through coercion primarily, you know, hey, get this thing or you're going to lose your job. Get this thing or you'll lose your ability to feed your family. Get this thing or you'll lose your ability to travel internationally to see your family or to connect with other human beings. You know, but we're not forcing you to do it. We're just, you know, you can't live your life or participate in this society unless you do as you're told. Now, take a knee and take this shot. You know? So they learned. It's a brilliant marketing strategy. You know, we need to make more money. Hey, we have this product. Hey, we need you, government. Can you force your people to do? Oh, you will. Oh, okay. Well, here you go. It's interesting. I mean, I know we're not supposed to see it that way. We're not supposed to ask questions about who benefits the most from these things, even though we don't really have to ask the question. You can dig a little bit into the financials and you can figure out, you know, who's making money in these different situations. I'll just call them that. Because someone always benefits in a crisis. But anyway, I'm 7 minutes in. And I've gotten off track. Let me get on track. So the thing I wanted to talk about briefly tonight is, well, taxes. And with the deadline here in the United States, where that it's just passed, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was April the 16th, to file your 1099 or whatever it is that you have to file, depending on your situation. I've had, you know, every tax year, tax season, I have quite a few conversations with different people and, you know, and I can't help but to ask the question is just why, you know, why do we pay taxes? And, yes, and it's usually, hey, it's the price you pay to live in a free and fair and civilized society, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's great. You can go back to the things that you learned in grade school. Though a few of us that were taught anything about taxes or other things that actually matter or deeply impact our lives, which it's a very short list, especially if you went to public school. But why? You know, and on paper, it makes sense. You know, hey, we all pay taxes. Those taxes go towards, you know, constructing buildings and roads, and, you know, it pays for our civil servants and it pays for our military and it funds all these things that are necessary to our infrastructure and to protect our way of life and all those things, you know, but considering the fact that the Federal Reserve just printed $9 trillion plus in 2020. We're not even going to add in 2021. But just printed all this money backed by absolutely nothing. And it was just injected into the economy or wherever they felt it was necessary. if they can do that, working hand in hand with our government, because the Federal Reserve is a private centralized bank entity. It is not tied to the federal government. It's not the federal government. I believe that our president can appoint, I think, one person on their board. But for the most part, it's just a private bank cartel, essentially, that dictates everything through money and its control of interest rates and all that good stuff. But that's a whole nother story. You know, but if they can print all that and it's backed by nothing, you know, as of 1971, that was where our President Nixon severed that final little string, that final little connection to the gold standard. And we transitioned into just a fiat currency where it's just nothing but faith, you know, we have faith in the government, in the U.S. government, faith in the currency. That'll always stand strong, you know, but they printed all that money. It's backed by nothing. So then if they can do that, well, why can't you print, you know, 30 trillion or 50 trillion? You know, well, wait a minute. Oh, that's going to cause hyperinflation. Well, they're already printing like crazy and helping their friends out in the sectors they deem important. Which, you know, it's kind of interesting. It seldomly comes around to the American people, you know, to the bottom 90%. It suddenly comes around to us, really. I mean, unless you want to count the, you know, 2-3 stimulus checks, which that's not free money. None of it's free, not free to us, you know, but it suddenly comes around to us, but we're left holding the bag, you know, because so much of the revenue in this country, at least on paper, comes from collecting taxes. And if you can just print it backed by nothing and print as much as you want, then, you know, what's the point? And I mentioned before that, you know, my concern is that the purpose of taxation now in 2022 is to control and limit wealth creation amongst a certain class of people. That's what it feels like to me. That is my observation, my opinion. Since you can print any amount of money you want to pay for anything you want, distribute it any way you want, it's just, there's no limit, none. Why are you taking such large chunks out of the money that I make, out of every paycheck I make? You know, if I cash in on any stocks or, you know, any capital gain stuff, you're going to hit me up there too. If I sell my house, if I sell rental property or whatever, you're going to come and take a chunk of that. When I go out to make purchases on things, I have to pay taxes there. You know, all these taxes. And what exactly is it going towards? And does the structure even, you know, is it even still relevant? Does it even still apply, considering all the things that have changed in recent years? And I know it's just, we're supposed to be so wrapped up in irrelevance that we don't sit around and ask these questions and demand these answers. These are relevant questions. These are necessary questions. And these are questions that they'll never be answered just outright. No one's going to just come forward. There won't be a press conference in the White House where they all sit down and they explain this stuff to us and give us the opportunity to throw some of our ideas out there and work together as a team, you know, as a constitutional republic, you know, or a democracy or whatever people believe that we are, which we are none of those things. You know, as I said before, we're closer to the definition of a totalitarian oligarchy. We're closer to the definition of a kleptocracy or a plutocracy. Take your pick. The thieves are in charge. A small circle of corporate elitists are in charge. Political elitists are in charge. Whatever. But the majority aren't really in charge. They're we're made to feel like we are. We're made to feel as though, you know, well, with our vote, that it means something. But as I stated plenty of times, when people talk about, oh, we just need to elect this or elect that, you know, my response these days, it's the same. You know, swapping out puppets does nothing. If the same masters remain, if big money is there, you know, if those thousands of lobbyists right down the street from the Capitol building, if that's allowed to persist, then it doesn't matter who you elect. The money will just shift. They'll just shift. I'll take my 8 million clams that I got on this guy and I'll put it on this gal, you know, because now that person has a good shot. You know, we want to get that person in because they'll vote the way we tell them to vote. Which is why there's just certain things that you'll never see debated on the floor. There's certain acts that'll never become law. There's plenty of things that are centered around government transparency or auditing the Fed or revamping our garbage tax code, you know, campaign finance reform, all those things. Those bills are there. They're there, just sitting on a shelf. You can look them up. Because you get, like, there are a couple decent politicians, I would say maybe 2%, that care and want to do some good, that are willing to cross party lines to bring people together and focus on helping the people. That's not nearly enough to ignite any real change, but you'll still find some potential legislation, some products that are partially built, that have a few endorsements, you know, that just didn't gain any movement for obvious reasons, things that would genuinely benefit the American people. But that's that. Now let's drift back over to taxes. You know, there are some people that believe that, you know, that this whole tax thing started in 1913. And well, that's not necessarily true. Yes, that's when the 16th Amendment was passed, was ratified. Sure. But there were plenty of other times where it was temporarily instituted by Congress. Now, there was during the Civil War, where there was a small tax on people that made more than, I believe it was $600, $600 a year, something along those lines. And it was brief, because prior to that, I mean, the government's revenue came from tariffs, primarily from tariffs. So the government could only grow by so much because their amount of revenue was limited. Of course, now it's, well, you know, it's insanely big. It's ungodly big. I mean, that's part of the problem. Government being too big, big business being too big, and them being entangled together. But yes, taxation has been a thing. Income tax, fairly new thing. And another interesting thing about 1913, that's where we got the Federal Reserve Act, which officially established a central bank entity in the United States. Attempts were made in the past, but different politicians fought back against it because they felt it would morally and financially bankrupt the country at some point. And I believe they were right on the money, no pun intended. But there were concerns. But yes, our president, Woodrow Wilson, who was a very interesting individual, by that I mean being just incredibly awful, he just would sign anything that he was told to sign. And I've heard he had some race issues and some other stuff. You know, he was a product of his time, but he was an interesting character. He also promised that we wouldn't enter into World War I, and made that a part of his reelection campaign You know, he kept us out of war, and then he was reelected, and then we were in war. You know, crazy, right? You know, politicians says one thing, then they get elected or reelected, then they do the complete opposite. They do what their corporate handlers tell them to do. That's been a longstanding tradition in this country. It's not some new thing. It's been that way for a very long time. But taxes. You know, just a few facts about taxes. One big one. In 1913, the first U.S. tax code was enacted, right? So we get our first, like, here's the standard for taxation or income tax collection. It was 400 pages. That's how it started, 400 pages. And it was straight to the point. Here's who pays. Here's the percentage. Here are these caps. Here are these brackets. Here you go. Bada boom, bada bing. Now, it's over 70,000 pages. And yes, I mean, times have changed over the past 100 plus years. But so much of our tax code, I mean, we have lobbyists that have their hands in it. So you have people from Wall Street or from the big banks that people get to hear them out. They get to put their hands on the tax code. And it's the same thing in our legislative branch. There are lobbyists that cover the real estate companies or law firms or the pharmaceutical company or whatever. Everyone has this coverage except for the citizens. I mean, it's supposed to be the individuals we elected and helped get into these positions within the House and the Senate. But we kind of don't really have representation. I mean, the corporations do. Yeah, they have a lot of coverage and they can impact law. Sure, they can impact any regulation that they deem fit, however they want it. We can't. We get to pretend. Yeah, we get to vote every so often, and we're made to feel special, like we're making a difference. And, you know, I used to vote too. It felt good. It felt like I was really doing something until time and time and time again, you know, I would look at things and really look at especially the past 20 years, the legislation that would come through. And I would look at something like, I don't know, like the Patriot Act, you know, it's like, well, this isn't going to help us. This actually it takes power and it concentrates it. It puts it into the hands of a small group of people that are allowed to just take an American citizen and label them as a terrorist and do whatever they want without any due process or anything. How is that going to make me safer or protect us? Or I don't understand. It seems like it just gives you more power to, I don't know, put the boot on us. Anytime we say something you don't like, or we go a little too far on something, you can just label someone and then you can just take them away. Kind of like the Espionage Act of 1917, which is a beaut. Another wonderful product of President Woodrow Wilson. Something Obama used quite a bit, you know. But wait, he was a great president. He was our first black president. Blah 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 blah. He was just another politician. When he was elected, I was very family members were excited because it was just, hey, he looks like us. You know, I had some friends and coworkers, random people. Oh, you know, some people were crying at his inauguration or whatever. I just saw it as like, oh, this is great. Now they'll be able to see that politician is a politician. And 99% of them are just garbage. And they're owned by the corporations. And they do what they tell them. And they smile and they feed us little lies here and there. And then that's it. They walk off into the sunset. They collect their money and go. And now they'll see that it's not just white politicians, but also black politicians that are terrible. And my hope was like, man, now we need a female president right after him. Then we need a gay president after him, and then a transgender president after him. So everyone can see that it does not matter. And we can stop all these back and forths about how, you know, oh, here's what we need. We need to elect this type of person because that's going to make a difference. You know, oh, da, 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 da. No, no, it does not matter. Swapping a puppet for a puppet, I don't get it. You're expecting something different? I don't. Oh, wow, look, this person looks different. Or this person looks more like me. You know, like, it's like, what a crock. But, you know, we get so distracted by things. And, hey, look over here. Someone dangles, they jingle the keys. And we just move on. And we move on quick. I mean, 2020, there are things that happened that should have never happened. Things that were horrific. Things that were grotesque. That were just despicable. And then we just move on. There are things that happened immediately after 9/11 and we just moved on. You know, million plus innocent civilians died in between Afghanistan and Iraq during the 20 years of craziness that happened over there post 9/11. Nope, we don't really care. Why? Well, because the media didn't tell us to care. Now we have the war in the Ukraine, between the Ukraine and Russia. And now they're telling us, the media tells us, you're supposed to care about the Ukraine. And you're supposed to have problems with Russia. You know, the Russians this, the Russian that. You know, because that's it's like a football game. You know, it just... It we only, you know, because, you know, we're stupid, so we only can think in pairs. You know, it always has to be just two sides. That's it. It has to just only two sides. It can't be complicated. You know, just only two sides, and we're gonna tell you who the heroes are and who the zeros are, and that's it. Don't ask questions. Don't dig into it too much. If you do, then you're clearly a conspiracy theorist. You know, something's wrong with you. How dare you question the narrative, you know, that's being handed to you by known liars, crooks, thieves, degenerates, and in some cases, pedophiles. But that's another story. But don't question that. No. Just go with the flow. Pay your taxes. You know, go to work. Buy things. Buy. Spend money. Borrow money. Spend that too. You know, that's it. Celebrate your holidays. Celebrate Independence Day. That's always nice. Celebrate your freedom. You know, that your freedom and independence. You know, don't think about all the lockdowns and unconstitutional mask mandates and shot jab mandates and all that kind of stuff. You know, where, you know, you were forced to choose between feeding your family and honoring your own principles and your own religious beliefs and all those things. And, you know, don't worry about that. Just do what we say. It's just, that's it. It's just that easy. Oh my goodness. Let me jump off of here. I got to take care of some things, but you know, it started as just some thoughts. I had some thoughts about taxation. But then it's just, you start looking at those headlines and it's so hard not to get sucked in when you look at those headlines, like, you know, the Russians do this to the Ukraine and blah, blah, blah. You know, everyone has their little agenda and we get our teams and, you know, and then they tell us which side to root for. And then that's what we do. And it's just hard not to get pulled in that stuff. But anyway, that's all I got for you tonight. We'll talk again very soon, very, very soon. But as always, thank you for listening in. Thank you for your support. Please feel free to, you know, shoot me an email if you want at thesnellnation11@gmail. You can also message me through the Anchor app, also through Apple Podcasts. I'm pretty quick to respond. I'm all caught up on everything. So please continue to send me all your feedback and your input, your constructive criticism, all that stuff. I greatly appreciate it all. And with that, have a good night. Snell Nation out.